Welcome back, Conference USA fans, to another episode of the CSA Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Rafford. If you're watching us on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And if you, for all of our audio listeners, don't forget that you can listen to us on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. We have a lot in store for you today. Some exciting stuff. We're talking about some basketball, some football. And you know who knows a lot about football? Not I, but we have some wonderful people here to break down all of the good stuff of our upcoming football season. Because as you all know, we have two new schools coming in starting July 1 in Delaware and Missouri State. And even though I just told myself about not knowing much about football, you know what I do know about? Some Conference USA basketball. And as always, when I'm in this seat, Eric Jones joins me to talk about what feels like the never-ending madness of CSA hoops right now. We're halfway through conference play, officially, and we have to start off on the men's side and just talk about this monstrous run that Jack State is on right now.
No doubt, yeah. Jack State, the Gamecocks are red hot right now. Winners of six straight, coming off two more big home wins for them. They are now the only undefeated home team left in the conference. A big win against FIU last Thursday, and then to come back down six at the half against Liberty, and outscore them 40-23 in the second half, to take it there. These guys are red hot. They're at the top of the standings. And they got a big matchup this Thursday against our second place team, Middle Tennessee.
They won against UTEP, lost against New Mexico State. Just talk about a little bit of those two games last weekend.
Yeah, definitely. They were skidding a little bit there. Dropped a tough one in New Mexico State. That was a big win for New Mexico State. Mm-hmm. They snapped their three-game losing skid. But for Middle Tennessee to bounce back and defeat a really good UTEP team, who's got, a top defense in the country right now, for Justin Porter and Esau Mustafa to just, keep those guys locked in and get that win, that three-point win. It was a tight game. It came down to the wire. I just want to give also Justin Porter a shout out. He became the 35th player, in program history to eclipse the 1,000-point mark, and the 12th to accomplish the feat in just three seasons. So big shout out there. The guy's been balling this season. Super exciting to watch. Esau Mustafa leads Conference USA, and is top 10 nationally with 11 double doubles now. It's going to be an exciting matchup this week. Jack State's back home, so they're going to have the home court again, Thursday night. Middle Tennessee's obviously coming off a big win against UTEP. Jerome Pierre Jr., still, a top 10 scorer nationally. But, some teams have been, locking him up a little bit, and that's, now you're seeing the veteran leadership in that locker room and what Coach Harper's doing there. Guys are stepping up in key situations, and all they want to do is keep winning because they know how important it is.
Just so you guys know, Jack State is now 9-0 at home.
Yep.
So that is an insane just record just to be at home in itself. We have six teams tied up at 5-4 on our men's side of the standing. So let's just talk about Liberty, right? They just handed Kennesaw its first home loss of the season. Of course, they, unfortunately was defeated by Jack State on this away stand last weekend. But talk about that Liberty and Kennesaw win.
Yeah, it was a big win for Liberty just to go on the road. And, they've been a good road team this year. They're 5-2 on the road, obviously over 500 in that mark. But they're just a team they can beat you down real quick. It was unfortunate, on Saturday, the way they lost that and they had a lead at the half. But, they're still coached by, Coach McKay is a great, great coach, great leader. And even just that roster in general, they'll be facing another 5-4 team this weekend in La Tech on Thursday night, actually. That one's on CBS Sports Network. That'll be an interesting ball game. Liberty dropped their first matchup together back in Ruston, and now seeing, they get to be on their home court where it's comfortable, and La Tech is 0-4 on the road in conference play. So it's a big game for both teams in this sense, for just to see if Louisiana Tech can get over that road hump where they've been struggling, and also for Liberty to kind of stamp, hey, this is us still. We're still Liberty, and we want to be at the top of the standing. So a big week for Liberty in that case, and for Louisiana Tech as well.
So speaking of Louisiana Tech, they're on a three-game winning streak, and they just got above 500, winning percentage in conference play. So just talk about this away stand. Like, as you said, they're 0-4.
Yeah.
on away games and conference play. So how important is it for them to get these two away games?
Right. And just to bring back, you know, non-conference play for Louisiana Tech, you looked at them and that when they went up to New York and played three games, you know, neutral site contests, but they were playing unbelievable basketball at that time. It's like this team, if they can keep this up, traveling, you know, at home, on the road, like this is going to be a dangerous team. And obviously, yeah, they've hit a little bit of a scuffle there, starting conference play at 0-4, but they're still so talented. They have so much leadership with Bacho and Sean Newman Jr. Those guys know how to play well together, and I think if something's going to click for them, and obviously it has with three-game win streak, but this will be the real test, I think, this weekend for them, and it'll be fun to watch.
I know we were joking about it today. I think, you know, WK, you heard about us asking about what, you know, what is it? What's going on with their program? They were ranked first in the preseason poll. They were on a little downslope, but they are back in action now. They, what, solidified New Mexico State, Middle Tennessee, very two big wins for them. So what is it that has just ignited this fire in them?
I think it's a lot of, you know, they're down a couple guys right now, mm-hmm. To injury, and they know what it takes. They went on a deep run last year and made the NCAA tournament. They, you know, Don McHenry, those guys know what it takes to get to the highest level in this league, and huge bounce back for them. Mm-hmm. At home, they were kind of looking from the outside, looking in a little bit, and bang, they're right back in the thick of it. Another good weekend from them with a road trip to Kennesaw and Jack State. You never know what can happen. I mean, I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks now. It's like, you know, we have two games separating eight teams at the top, and we keep thinking it's going to separate, and it's not. So something's, you know, bound to give here soon. And huge credit to Coach Plona and his staff and getting those guys to rally a little bit around, you know, a little bit of adversity. And that's what it takes sometimes is, just leadership and the veterans to step up and say, hey, you know, we got this thing.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Kennesaw also, you know, they dropped to Liberty, but they also won against FIU. So they're on a, you know, one game winning streak now. And how can we take that into this next week?
Yeah. Yeah. Kennesaw, again, they play with a bunch of fire. They're a young team and they run around and it'll beat you and shoot lights out here and there. Simeon Cottle and Adrian Woolley. Adrian Woolley's still leading the league in scoring at just under 20 points a game during conference play. The guy's been super special, and I'd have to go back and look, but I'm not sure if we've ever had a freshman win player of the year and possibly freshman of the year, but he is certainly on his way to doing that as of right now. He's playing unbelievable basketball. You know, win or loss, he's always the top of the stat column. He is doing what it takes on his end, and, you know, he'll just need a little bit a fire around everybody else, you know, to keep it going. I know they're a young team. They have three freshman starters. So, you know, get everyone on board and they'll beat anybody and they'll punch you in the mouth real quick.
And he just won his seventh freshman of the week honor.
I know.
We still have five more weeks. So he is still a lot of fun.
There. Yeah.
To get to 10.
Yep. So it's been fun watching them and another just big weekend of conference hoops for Kennesaw State.
So you talked about some Thursday games. What about Saturday games to watch?
Saturday, definitely looking at the rematch of the Battle of I-10. They're New Mexico State actually hosting UTEP this time around. Surprised a lot of folks last time, the way they went into El Paso and handed them, you know, 28-point loss, I believe, and, you know, really gave it to them. And, you know, both teams were, I think, yeah, at the time, both 2-0, the only undefeated teams in the conference at the time. And I think UTEP's definitely looking for a little bit of revenge, especially going to Las Cruces.
Mm-hmm. And they're tied again now.
Yeah. Yep. Whenever they play each other, they got to be tied. Makes it mean more a little bit. But, yeah, that'll be really exciting to watch. Hopefully, you know, you can see UTEP bounce back in a sense. New Mexico State still, you know, kind of, you know, started off 4-0, then lost three straight, split a pair of games this weekend. So hopefully to get back to their consistency and winning like they were at the beginning of conference play.
We just have to give a huge shout out on the men's side, though, because one thing they are doing is playing and competing against each other. You don't have, like, a clear winner. If you could guess today, who do you think would, you know, get that number one seed in Huntsville?
Okay, number one seed? I mean, Jack State's on track. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, they have two more wins than just about everyone else in the league. the way that they're playing, I think we're obviously we have a good feel for it on Thursday night after that game, with those being, you know, Jack State Middle 1 and 2 in the league right now. One of those two teams, I'll say that. I think right now, yeah. I mean, they've got themselves a head start. I think now that they've all got a game against everybody under their belt.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, scouting's different. It's never easy to sweep a season series with any school in our league, but they've proven that they can do it one time. We'll see if they can do it again. Jack State had some big road wins in the first half of conference play, so you never know. You never know. I think one of those two teams, as of right now, I like their chances.
Mm-hmm. After football season, Jack State is proving that they did not come into this conference playing at all.
They're ready to go.
It'll be very, very interesting to see. Sorry to throw you that wrench, but I've been I want to pick your brain a little bit about it.
I'm all for it.
On the women's side, we have a little more of a clear indication of what's been happening. Liberty and Middle, they're still tied at 8-1. As you know, earlier in the season, Middle did beat Liberty, but that was at home. So I'm very, very excited to see what the outcome will be when Middle Tennessee has to visit Liberty in their house. But that is still ways away, a couple, like 2 weeks from now, I believe. So they're both tied up at 8-1. We have WKU that is 6-3. FIU is at 5-4. And then from there on down, we have four teams that are, you know, tied. Kennesaw and Jax, they're tied at 3-6. And then we have Sam Houston and UTEP that is tied at 2-7. But Liberty is on a 7-game winning streak. So we talk about how Jack State is red hot on the men's side. Liberty is just as hot on the women's side. I think this 7-game winning streak, especially that loss after Middle Tennessee, has just fueled their fire. I think we talk about this every week, or we talked about that when Middle did beat Liberty, that we didn't think it was going to be that outcome. You know, Middle did kind of beat them by a large margin, but Liberty came firing back this week. Bella Smuda, of course, you know, she has been very, very good for them. She averaged 17.5 points this week and then 8.5 rebounds. Crazy, crazy stat person for the Lady Ferns. Yeah.
And that's what you need against a team like Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You need a little bit of length. And Bella Smuda gives that to Lady Flames. And obviously that loss didn't sit well with them. They believe they should be at the top of this league year in and year out. And it's good to see them go on this streak, because, mm-hmm. you know, here in a couple weeks when they do play Middle, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a real clash. And getting to play them at home is going to be special for those girls, and they're going to be all but ready for it. So exciting to watch. And and even just to the other girls in that team, they're, you know, they shoot lights out. Mm-hmm. And if you can just run into one game where you're just clicking on all cylinders, especially at home, it's something crazy can happen.
Oh, for sure. Emma has Asia Boone has been just crazy phenomenal, you know, just scores for Liberty right now. I feel like it's always switching up somebody different that is leading scorer for
that's not a bad thing.
Not a bad,
ever bad thing.
Yes. Yeah. You want all the scores that you can get. But of course, Bella Smuda is always very, very good on defense for them. And you need people to get rebounds so you can have that firing offense on the other end. So they are red hot right now. Of course, Middle Tennessee, as always, have been really, really good. We always talk about how UTEP and New Mexico State, that travel is the hardest schedule, you know, travel schedule or travel week for Conference USA schools. And they got it done this weekend. New Mexico State, though, they took them into overtime. New Mexico State was not going down without the fight, but, you know, Middle Tennessee, they powered through that. Anastasia Bodareva, insane week. You know, she was USA Player of the Week this week for the women's side. She had 39 points, 17 rebounds, 6 blocks, 3 steals, and assists, right? And in the fourth quarter, or in that overtime win against New Mexico State, she had, 12 points? She had bunch of rebounds. She definitely, you know, powered the Lady Raiders into that
stepped up at the right time. Yeah. And again, that trip is, you're happy to walk out of there with 2 wins, mm-hmm. like they did. I know going to overtime there with New Mexico State, they have a star in Molly Kaiser. They're, mm-hmm. she's going to keep them in every ball game, and it's no surprise to see that outcome. But again, happy to walk away with a win on that road trip, get out of there, move on to the next week. Anastasia Bodareva, yeah, just going off once again, earning Player of the Week this week. She'll hit you from every which way. She'll mm-hmm. score on you in an instance, and I mean, it's almost an automatic rebound when she's down low. So, yeah,
in that game,
ridiculous. ridiculous. So
for sure. So FIU also went 2-0 this weekend. They got wins over Kennesaw State and Jack State, but I know that they were probably holding their breath against that Kennesaw State game because it was so close. They won a game 65-64, and they won that on a game-winning layup with 7 seconds left. So I already know that that whole team was like, I hope that layup goes in, because I know that I would be if I was on that team. But they gutted out that win, and I think this whole entire weekend they were determined to win. You know, they've been on kind of a losing streak before this week. So to be back, and then they're 5-4, right? The only team that's 5-4. FIU is surprising a lot of people, and I don't think you should, you know, like, you should not be, you know, concerned or, you know, like, not concerned. You should be concerned because you just never know with FIU. They can have a really, really good game, or, you know, sometimes you may catch them on a bad day, but they have not been having many bad days.
Yeah, and for the ladies on that team that were, you know, on the team last year and to be under head coach Jessica Burse-Wiley, they know what it takes in this league. She's been around for a few years now, and, you know, again, no game is taken lightly in this league. It's fun to watch that team play, and I know they're missing a few pieces as well, which is unfortunate, but it just, you know, adds a little bit of fuel to the fire. These girls want to win and, you know, do it in the best way.
So Maya Kone is still down for the Panthers, but Isnell Nadabu, who I think I've been talking about every single week that I have been hosting, she has been stepping up major big time for them. I think I saw this on the USA stat pack just for Conference USA games only. Field goal percentage is 60% plus. Like, she has been insane for the Panthers, and I think that is the driving force of why they're doing so well. Right. And when you have a big player like Maya Kone go down at the beginning of the season, you need players to step up, and she has been a definite just player to step up and just lead that team into winning these games. So major shout out to what she's doing for the Panthers right now, because that is a big loss, tough loss for her.
Definitely.
Especially preseason player of the year.
Yeah. So much expectation and all that. So yeah, big props to her.
New Mexico State just snapped WKU's 6-game winning streak. And I think that game that they played against Middle Tennessee, sending it into overtime and then having WKU after that, knowing that they need a win.
Yep.
Because they were on a losing streak, too. They won against WKU. Won what? It was, I believe, 64-59. Sorry. But they gunned that one out. And Molly Kaiser and our freshman of the week, Maddie Gerwitz, she was really, really good. But they didn't come on into the fourth quarter. And that fourth quarter, they were lights out. 80%. Maddie was from the field goal range. Well, not even the field goal range. From beyond. Yeah, from, yeah. She had 4 3-pointers in the fourth quarter alone that just edged the Aggies above WKU in that game.
Yeah, impressive week from the Aggies all around. Mm-hmm. Obviously, wanted to go 2-0 there at home. But I think with the way it turned out, getting a huge win against WKU and then taking it to the wire with Middle Tennessee, you got to be excited going into this week, especially who they – I mean, you got UTEP. Mm-hmm. Big rivalry game. Like, that's the way you want to be playing basketball this time of year and leading up to the conference tournament. You know, 1-1 on the week almost could feel like a very successful week in a sense. So excited to watch that. The women's battle of I-10 as well.
Yes, that should be actually a really, really good game. Yeah. And they won against UTEP when they hosted in Las Cruces, and now they'll be in El Paso.
A lot of motivation to go 2-0 against them.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Battles and rivalries. Who wouldn't love to go 2-0 on the year? Men's and women's, we'll see. I think men's, it'll be a 1-1 situation. I'm guessing.
See,
I think 2-0 for the women's. We'll see this weekend. As we always say, Conference USA basketball surprises us, so we have no clue. But our last team that I do want to talk about is Sam Houston. Sam Houston got a big win over La Tech this weekend. Sam Houston hosted La Tech, and they won that game 70-65, and they forced La Tech to 30 turnovers. And nuts, insane. They had 16 steals in that game. And I don't think people know this, but Sam Houston ranks fourth in the nation in turnovers forced per game with 25.11. And I just feel like they have such a good defensive presence. And if they do the same thing that they did against La Tech, against our other Conference USA schools, they won't be at the bottom of the standings anymore. They will climb their way up.
There's plenty of time left. And, you know, a lot of people say defense wins championships. Mm-hmm. You play that type of defense the rest of the year, never know what can happen.
No, for sure.
You could make a long run. Forcing 30 turnovers in a game is unreal. And obviously that's tough to do every single night, but you keep on that same track and you'll find yourself right there in the middle of the standings and maybe even the top. You never know.
It's very important though, because points off turnovers, that's where they have to solidify and nail right there. So once they figure out the offensive side, because they have obviously the defensive side down, but once Sam Houston and those Bearcats get the offensive side going, I think they will be a force to be reckoned with. But we shall see. We just, never-ending cycle of the Mavericks of Conference USA. And we have 5 more weeks until Huntsville. I think that's insane. Time is going by so fast.
It's flying, and it's fun. It's keeping us on our toes, that's for sure.
Oh, we wouldn't have it any other way, though. It wouldn't be a lot to talk about if we didn't have this craziness going on in the conference. But as always, thank you so much for joining me. I love to talk basketball with you.
It's always good to be here. Thank you.
Coming up next, we have Josh Yonas interviewing our Associate Commissioner of Football, Trey Stallings, to talk about the creation of our 2025 CUSA football schedule. Enjoy!
What's up, Conference USA fans? It's Josh Yonas. I'm back on the podcast. We're wedging football right here into peak spring crossover season. There's a lot going on for football this week. We had National Signing Day yesterday, and today we had the release of the 2025 CUSA football schedule. I'm honored to be joined by our Associate Commissioner for Football, Trey Stallings, coming on the show just to chat a little ball. But first off, Trey, before we really dive into the schedule and some of the games we're really looking forward to, let's talk through, because I don't think a lot of people know, like, how does a schedule really come to fruition, right? From that first, you know, interaction with our scheduler to finally putting it out today.
Yeah, I guess I would say there's a lot of information gathering, right? The first thing we do is we really send out requests to our institutions to really understand, you know, what are some things they want to accomplish in the schedule itself, right? So we sent out what we would call our special preferences. And so that kind of gives us an idea of, hey, here are some dates we probably need to work around in order to meet some of the needs of our member institutions. And then from there, it's really a puzzle piece of trying to capture, again, what our member institutions' input is, and then obviously understand what, from a very high level, what non-conference games can probably derail some of those inputs. And so it's certainly a lot, particularly when you're dealing with 12 teams and obviously 12 different interests. But at the same rate, it's a lot of fun with really trying to be collaborative while also making sure that we maintain some good rivalries and trying to build some rivalries at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. And that process starts well before, I mean, even before we were done with the 2024 season, we were starting to collect some of this information. And then by the end of it, I mean, how many versions had we gone through before we finally got to this beautiful grid that we got today?
A lot. Let's just say there, a lot. I can't really put a number on it because, again, you're working with a scheduler who is, again, just trying to help put the pieces together. So more than anything, though, to your point, the process starts early, right? So we started probably back in February. So we had winter meetings in January. Last January, we had winter meetings. And then there was a push to really try to get the schedule out earlier. And we didn't quite get that accomplished this season. But it's certainly a process where we start in February collecting the information, and then the scheduler, he gets that information, and then he just starts plugging in. Again, things change, though, right? Non-conference games change. Venue conflicts change. And so just trying to, again, capture all that information and then make note of it and put together a schedule is why we're so late in the process with getting our schedule out, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, it happens, but it's here and it's beautiful. And what an awesome time of the year, too. You know, I mentioned National Signing Day earlier. For those of you who don't know, Trey played at Ole Miss, played a few years in the NFL as well. I'm sure signing day looked a lot different when you were signing to Ole Miss than it does now, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It is completely different, especially when you consider how I saw yesterday where a guy committed with a baby or something like that. It was again. Random, but again, it's celebration, though. Celebration with family. I think that's obviously unique and special. But it did. It looked a lot different. Like, we were just in our high school gymnasium signing papers with our parents, taking a couple of pictures for the newspaper, and then we're on our merry way. So
probably still faxing that NLI.
Absolutely. Not even standing here, right? Straight facts for sure.
That's funny. Well, again, an awesome time of the year. I'm thrilled to have Trey on here to talk about the schedule. Let's really get into it. And I think before we really start going through some of these games, it's important to tell, like, we have no idea who's going to, you know, what's going to be a good game, right? Who's going to be the good teams. I mean, you kind of have your normal culprits. Some of the teams we know that really reloaded, whether it was through high school recruiting, transfer portal recruiting. But, you know, one of the things we do know, half the league is new coaches. We had four new hires. We have two new schools in Missouri State and Delaware that they'll be, while they're not new coaches to the institution, new coaches to the league. So there's just a lot of new everywhere, right? And everyone's about to learn a lot about different cities they've been to, obviously two new campuses that our schools get to go to for the first times. It's awesome. And every week is going to bring more and more exciting matchups, just different exciting storylines. So let's start with some of the schedules that, you know, we kind of identify, you know, a little more favorable for some teams, right? And I think the one that jumps out to me right off the bat is a team like Liberty. And you look at, you know, who they're matched up with in conference play. You know, we would love to see, you know, all the big dogs. I mean, last year, right, at the end of the season, we had all the big dogs going against each other, and we kind of got lucky that the schedule laid out that way. And certain teams, you know, developed the way they did to set those games up. But, you know, Liberty doesn't have a couple of those opportunities that you would anticipate being, you know, the really big games. So we expect to see a lot more dubs on the Flame schedule, I would think. But, you know, what do you think when you look down their schedule?
Yeah, you know, when you really look at it, right, you try to look at it from a lens of, hey, how can we have competitive balance? Right. And then two, how can we ensure that once, let's say, a freshman gets to school, that's kind of a rarity nowadays, a transfer portal. But when a freshman gets to school, right, how can we ensure as a conference office that they play at each of our campuses? Right. And so those are things that we really took into consideration this year. But particularly for Liberty, like they don't face this year WKU, which in my opinion is a premier team in our league, right? And so as we look at that and we determine that, hey, they may miss WKU this year, to me, that's an advantage for Liberty because they're not playing in what we would consider one of our top teams. And so they have a really good schedule. I think they only play right now two midweek games, with one of their quote-unquote midweek games being on a Saturday. I think that's a huge plus. They do travel to UTEP, which is across the country, venue for them. But at the same rate, they play, I think, they have a early matchup against Jacksonville State, right? That's going to bring some excitement for sure. But outside of that, I mean, I think they relatively have one of the more simpler schedules amongst the membership for sure.
Yeah. And for them, that might be, you know, again, it is advantageous to have, you know, maybe some more winnable games on the schedule. And for them, when you look at, you know, just kind of the outlook going into 2025, Caden Salter no longer with the team. Quentin Cooley's, you know, he graduated. So you're going to have a new look backfield. You know, probably likely Ethan Vasco, the transfer from Coastal Carolina, will be under center. I'm not saying anything for sure. I would imagine that's who we would see under center in week one. They do have a lot of options in the wide receiver room, in the running back room to kind of help him out. But new face under center, there's going to be a lot of new faces along the offensive line. That's probably a good schedule to have for them when they're having to figure out a lot of these other things. If you're not having to face challenging opponents on top of that, that's probably good news for Coach Chadwell.
Absolutely. Particularly, again, like to your point, you lost a lot of starters from your team from last year, and really probably for the past 2 years. And so how can you ensure that you, one, hit the ground running, but then create momentum throughout the season that can kind of help you carry, you know, throughout the rest of the way?
Yeah. And then two more that, you know, I wanted to touch on in terms of, again, I don't want to call them easy schedules by any means, because winning games is hard, but some of the more favorable schedules, you look at Middle Tennessee, New Mexico State, both kind of have a lot of really good opportunities in the non-conference. Middle Tennessee, you know, they do have to go play at Wisconsin, but they've got Austin Peay, they've got Nevada, they've got Marshall. Marshall's kind of got a lot of question marks with, you know, a lot of the departures there, the mass exodus out of their program. And then New Mexico State, you look at theirs, they have an FCS opponent in Bryant. They play Tulsa, New Mexico, just some of these other fringe, you know, fellow G5 teams that, you know, if you are able to put the pieces together, that could be a really big win, not only for them, but for the league. So I look at some of them, a Middle Tennessee, you know, they get Jack State and Sam Houston both at home this year. That's big for them. And then New Mexico State, you know, again, we haven't really talked about this piece yet, but just the placement of those bye weeks, and I'm sure you could kind of speak to this as a player too, but, you know, New Mexico State, they get byes before road games at New Mexico and at Liberty. And so for them, you get one, you know, before a rivalry game, and then you get one before you have to go across the country and play Liberty. So how important are those kind of aspects when you're trying to find some, you're really trying to evaluate a schedule?
Man, from an overarching standpoint, Josh, the bye weeks are a game changer for us, particularly with midweek play, right? For instance, we want to ensure that all of our schools are playing on the national stage, right? Whether that's CBS Sports or whether that's ESPN during midweek play. And so that's where the bye weeks really become advantageous for us when we're putting the schedule together, because we don't want to run into a situation where someone is not necessarily on the national stage. And so we strategically wanted to ensure that only four games were being played week in and week out throughout, again, I would say week 7 through 10. And so with that, we just, again, we found ways to be creative. And also, we wanted to ensure that, again, if someone had facility conflicts, for instance, that they were able to maybe have a game where, you know, students could be on campus, because some of our schools obviously have fall break during some of these games. And so, you know, again, it's a puzzle for sure, to say the least. But Middle, in my opinion, and New Mexico State, they have advantageous schedules because of how the games actually fall, particularly in midweek play. I don't know if you noticed this, but particularly for Middle, I know for certain that they have set days that they almost play on, right? And so they get 7 days in between each game. Some of our schools are not facing, or they don't have those same liberties, because we have a natural attrition of days in week 6 through 7, or week really through week 6 through 8.
Right.
We play on Thursday, Friday, right? And then we play on Wednesday, Thursday. And then that's when we get to Tuesday and Wednesday in week 7 through 10. So to me, Middle, really, they have a huge win in that when they have a whole week of preparation, where some teams may not have the same liberty again.
Yeah. I think that routine that you're able to settle into, where you're not going from Wednesday to a Tuesday or a Thursday to a Wednesday, you know, all that. So, yeah, definitely some really good things to think about. So let's go to some of the tougher schedules. And we're going to start here with Delaware, man, because I'm excited for the blue energy that we're bringing into the league this year. But, you know, obviously they've got tough sledding coming into the league year one. You know, their FBS debut, they have played Delaware State week one, and then they got to go at Colorado. You got to play Prime week two out in the Rocky Mountains. And then you get a UConn team that next week, you know, you get them at home, but a UConn team that was really impressive last year under Coach Jim Mora. And then they get that CUSA debut at FIU inside Pitbull Stadium week four. So and then you go down the stretch, they're at Jack State, they're at Liberty, they're at Sam Houston. So they're kind of facing the gauntlet here. But, you know, if anyone's up for the challenge, I think it's Ryan Carty.
Yeah, for sure. I will say it wasn't on purpose that crawl on the road for those tough stretches, for sure. But again, it was just a way, again, that the schedule played out. You know, I wonder, I'm not currently looking at it, Josh, but what days do they actually have? What, like, who are they actually playing during midweek play? I can't remember.
So we got, so week six in the bridge week, they got WKU. So I think that one's going to be on a Friday. They get a bye week, week seven. And then, yeah, you go at Jack State, week eight. So, you know, they do get the bye week there before they make the trip to Jack State. And yeah, I can't recall which days the Jack State middle ones are on. But yeah, and then, yeah, and then they wrap it up with Liberty.
Yeah.
On the, and that one moves to a Saturday with it being homecoming for Liberty, but yeah, so
tough sledding for sure their first year, but they certainly got their work cut out. I think they're up for it. I think they're built for it.
Yeah.
But it's certainly going to be a test coming into the league, obviously in year one for sure.
Yeah. We'll jump to, so FIU, easily the toughest opening game of the season. it'll be their second game, but week two there, they go at Penn State in Happy Valley. Penn State obviously coming off of a an appearance in the CFP playoff this past year, but and then you look down the rest of theirs, they're at UConn, another team we just talked about, at WKU, at Sam Houston, and then they close the season, these last three games for FIU, Liberty at home, Jack State at home, and then you're at Sam Houston. So you face, you know, a 9-win team, an 8-win team, a 9-win team, and a 10-win team there in the last 3 weeks of the season. So, you know, FIU first year into Willie Simmons, they got a little bit of a you know, potential struggle too.
I do. I will say this though. Anytime anyone plays in Miami, it's going to be different. And I think it's going to be a challenge, obviously based on the weather that's there. So while we may look at it obviously on paper and say this, it's tough sledding, they may feel differently, obviously, as we get into November, December, and things are cold everywhere else, but it's still hot and sunny down in Miami. But again, it is a tough sled, obviously, with the success that all those teams had last year. But again, we'll see what Coach Willie Simmons has stored up for the old FIU Panthers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's already done quite a number recruiting wise for them out of the portal, pulling a lot of guys from that Miami area, which I think is crucial for them. And, you know, one thing I look at, we talked about it the other day, too, is how necessary this year three jump is going to be for Kiwan Jenkins at the quarterback position. And I think potentially the biggest piece is going to be off the field for him. And it's going to be offensive coordinator Nick Coleman, who has been a bit of a quarterback guru in his career. He worked with Spencer Rattler when he was at South Carolina. He worked with Jacob Zeno at UAB and really turned Jacob Zeno into an extremely talented G5 quarterback who put up great numbers at UAB. So that was his previous stop before he came to South Beach. So excited to see what he's able to do with that offense. You know, obviously their defense played a huge role for them last year and they've got a couple holes to fill there. So again, going back to the point I made at the beginning of the show, we have no idea who's going to be good or not, and really we won't even have an idea you know, until we get to like preseason poll time in July around media day, where we get an idea of what the coaches think, and who knows, you know, even what they think. I'm sure it's going to be just as much of a challenge for them to try to, you know, figure out where everyone's going to slot in. And you're also bringing in, you know, Delaware and Missouri State, who were very successful in their final year in the FCS level. So, you know, seeing how that translates to FBS, because you've seen it go one way or another. And some people, like, you know, Sam Houston, you struggle year one and then make a 7-win improvement from year one to year two. So, you know, it can obviously be done. Speaking of Sam Houston, when we talk about tough schedules, man, probably the hardest non-conference schedule, when you look across the board here, they play UNLV, one of the top G5 programs. You play at Hawaii, which doesn't matter how good or bad they are. That's a grind to get out there.
Absolutely.
And play that game at the University of Texas. And then they play at Oregon State later on in the year, kind of picked up that, you know, and that's the one where I look at, you know, if Sam Houston is able to kind of fill some of the holes on defense, I think that's probably the biggest concern for them going into this year. Because offensively, you know, you bring back Hunter Watson. He had, you know, he had
really
moments where, yeah, he looked really good last year,
yep.
Did struggle with health. He was kind of, you know, in and out at certain points. So if he's healthy, if he's on the field, they've got two, you know, incredible wide receivers. You're seeing one right here, Michael Phoenix there, you know, him. him and Quavez Humphreys, who are capable of making some insane plays on throws from Hunter Watson. But again, it's really going to be on that defensive side where they just kind of got gutted. But again, going back to their schedule, you know, if they're anywhere as good as they are last year, the, you know, an Oregon State team is one where that's one where I'm circling as a Sam Houston fan to pick up a premier win for Conference USA.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I think it's going to be interesting too, Josh, as we look at the schedule and look at how the team actually comes together under some of these new coaches that we have in the league, right? Obviously, Coach Ryan Beard and Coach Ryan Carter, they are not necessarily newbies to your point earlier. They're not newbies to the institution, but they will be new to the league. And so just trying to adjust no matter what the schedule is. That's why coaches and administrators were just clamoring to get this schedule done because they wanted to understand what they will be facing and kind of obviously laying out the blueprint for how they wanted to attack the season. So again, particularly for Phil Longo down in Sam Houston, like it's going to be interesting to see what Hunter Watson looks like within that offense. Cause I think it's going to be different from what he's been accustomed to last season. So, you know, the schedule is what the schedule is and how people attack it and how they prepare for it, I think is what's going to pay big dividends down the road.
Yeah. And you've brought it up from both sides here of just like the balance of, you know, from an administration side where, you know, they are really focused on, okay, what day is going to be homecoming? What day is going to be parents weekend? You know, just getting getting butts in seats, right? And what are going to be the best opportunities for them? And then you're also having to balance that with the coaching side where, you know, they have a different mindset of, you know, where they play games, when they play games, you know, bye weeks, all that kind of stuff, because they're so much more, not that the admin side isn't as concerned with the player safety piece or just the competitiveness piece, but it's just, you know, trying to walk the line between pleasing both sides of right. that is so hard. So
to sum it up, it's just different.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yep.
It's different for sure.
So we'll go through kind of the rest of the teams here we haven't touched on as much yet. Jack State, we'll go to the defending champs here. You know, we talk about bye weeks here. You know, I do like that they have the bye weeks there to kind of break up. They play at Southern Miss, who, you know, they weren't as good of a program last year, but bringing in a lot of the people that left that Marshall program. So they could look a lot different this year. And it's also on the road. And you break that up in that bridge week going into weekday CUSA, where you got to start at Sam Houston. So that was one thing that kind of jumped out at me for them. And then they're another team that has some really good opportunities in the non-conference. They're at UCF, who was kind of up and down last year. They're at Georgia Southern. They played in the New Orleans Bowl this past year, the Southern Miss game that I already mentioned. And, you know, but again, they're another one of these teams. We just do not really know what to expect from them because it's going to be an entirely new look backfield.
Yep.
With Tyler Huff being gone, Trey Stewart, you know, both of them just finishing their final year in style with the change. Yeah. And a new coach, Charles Kelly. Yeah. There's a lot of question marks with the Gamecocks, but we shall see what happens with them. We'll go to, you know, their rival, Kennesaw State. The interesting thing here with their schedule. So we look at this stretch here. So they play at Indiana in week two. They do not go on the road again until week nine when they go at FIU down in Miami. So they have 45 days between road games. And, you know, obviously in that span, they have two bye weeks. So it's not like they're playing every week at home. But when you look at that, I mean, what does that say to you just about when you're talking about the routine, just being able to sleep in your own bed and not having to, you know, hit the road, get on a plane, get on a bus, whatever it is?
I think it's huge. Again, anytime you can take advantage of being home and you get that rest, you get that added feeling of being comfortable in your own space, I think it does dividends, not only obviously for your body, but for your psyche as well. Like all those things play a huge factor in getting your team prepared and ready to play from week in and week out.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, for Kennesaw State, home games are crucial to them. They pack that place out. They're loud. You know, we saw it in the Liberty game last year. And just looking at some of the matchups they have for CUSA play, you know, some of the more, you know, opportunistic matchups of, you know, of CUSA teams. So we'll see what first year head coach Jerry Mack can do with that schedule this fall. La Tech, you know, a team that we talked about a lot, you know, just in the middle portion of the season, because we thought, all right, they might make a bowl game. You know, they might not. If they, you know, one game goes a certain way, they did obviously end up playing in the Independence Bowl, even as a 5-win team. So they bring back Sonny Cumbie. Ryan Ivey really just kind of doubled down on him and said, hey, we believe in him to lead this program again. I believe they got Evan Bullock back year two under center. He had a really impressive freshman season for the Bulldogs. So let's, you know, taking a look at their schedule, you know, you've got a bye before back-to-back home games against WKU and Sam Houston. That is a time where I really think, and right there, you know, week eight, you know, not quite the middle of the season, but that's going to be a time where, you know, they're potentially, you know, a 2-3 win team, you know, maybe even a 4-win team if everything goes their way. And you're saying that's where you got to lock in, right? And you're playing two of your toughest games against WKU and Sam Houston. That's where it's really going to come down to Sonny Cumbie and what he can do with that bye week, that little bit of extra preparation before those two big games.
Absolutely. And I'll even throw in the early contest against New Mexico State, right? I think that's going to play, again, against psyche. We talk about the mental preparation and how can you build confidence and infuse confidence in your players. Again, they go play at LSU and then turn around and play New Mexico State. Again, I think anytime any G5 team is playing a P4 opponent, either you're going to show up, which Louisiana Tech has. They've always showed up and played a P4 opponent very, very well the way they did last year. And then how can you then turn some of that energy, hopefully positive energy, into getting a W the following week? So, again, can they build momentum early and then be able to seize that momentum throughout the rest of the year? I think they have an opportunity to do that. They play really, really good football, had some unfortunate turn of events in several games, but at the same rate, they finished strong and looked good doing it. So we'll see if they're able to capture some momentum early, because in my opinion, even dating back for the past 2 years with Louisiana Tech, from a scheduling standpoint, can they finish games early, again, to help them carry some momentum throughout the rest of the year?
Yeah, and one thing I saw, you know, from their schedule last year, they were 1-5 on the road in 2024. When you look at their CUSA games that are on the road here, they've got, let's see, so La Tech, so they go at UTEP, at Kennesaw State. You know, they do make the trip to Delaware against the newbie, and then at Missouri State. So, you know, I look at some of those again, just based off of last year. That's where you need to capitalize.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, you're playing two new FBS teams. You're playing two teams that struggled a lot last year. Those are games that you need to win if you want to be a bowl team. And I think that's just, you know, as clear cut as it can be for Sonny and the boys down there in Ruston. But Missouri State, we'll talk about the other newcomer here. Another really tough non-conference schedule. They're obviously, you know, just trying to get that money when they make the move up. But at USC to start the year, at Marshall, which again, you know, we're not really sure what to expect out of Marshall. There's going to be a lot of newness there too. And then they get SMU, my ponies. They're bringing them to Springfield. You know, and I love that by the ACC, right? And we saw it last year with Duke playing at Middle Tennessee. This year it's SMU playing at Missouri State. I mean, that's awesome, right? I mean, your first FBS home game, you're playing a team that was in the ACC championship and the first round of the playoff. Like, that's crazy.
But should be a huge draw for them.
Yeah.
So, definitely. And then how do they fare in a game like that, right?
Yeah.
Knowing that, you know, you had a team that was basically in the CFP playoffs last year that looked really well. So how do you fare against it? And I think it's a way for them to kind of understand where they are in the pecking order and hopefully be able to make a game of it and see if they can pull it off.
Y'all can go ahead and tape it. You can take this as my credential request right now. I'm there strictly for business, just for business, of course. But you know, then we'll go to UTEP. You know, looking at theirs, I think one of the things that jumped out for me was, you know, they get the bye before they host Liberty. And, you know, we kind of talked about it last year when Liberty had to play at New Mexico State. You know, we don't know the kick time for this one, but I know last year it was a 9:15 central kick when they played in New Mexico State. And again, that's just one of those little things, like that's 10:15 Eastern. So these boys are like already thinking, you know, they're already thinking about bedtime at 10:15. And that's when you're starting a football game. Like that, there's something there to that aspect. But and then UTEP, you know, Tufts USA slate, they got to play all four of our bowl teams from last year. You know, they do get Liberty at home. They're playing at Sam Houston though. But yeah, that's tough. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
tough sledding. And we'll see if Coach Walden, again, in his second year, if he can kind of make a turn. They brought in a lot of players, as we attested to with even WKU. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens for sure.
Yeah, yep. And then we'll wrap it up here with WKU. So WKU and Sam Houston playing a week zero game. It'll likely be televised. We don't know that yet. I think the other piece that I should have touched on earlier when we talked about schedules, we probably got another two or three months ahead of us of allowing our TV partners to pick their games. So that'll be interesting to see, you know, where they kind of how they evaluate the league, what they see as some of the premier matchups. But I can almost guarantee this one will be nationally televised in week zero. I think there's four games that are on the slate for that week. So that's a big one for the Tops to really make a statement right out the gates, right? Yeah. They're saying, hey, 10-win team, no worries. We'll bring you in. We'll get a dub. Who knows how that one will play out. But I imagine that they have they've really circled that one and are really getting the boys ramped up for week zero there. And then you get another one at home against North Alabama. So, you know, potential to go into that tough Toledo game on the road at 2-0, and then you get a bye week before you kind of start this next stretch. So there's a chance there that that's a, you know, a very advantageous stretch for the Tops.
So we talked about advantageous schedules earlier, right? We probably should have put WKU in the mix here.
Yeah.
They have three byes. Obviously, with them playing in week zero, they have an additional bye that got added to their schedule. They're literally throughout the season playing three games, then they're on a bye week. So this should be a really interesting test. Obviously, as an industry, as we try to maybe incorporate week zero into our scheduling practices, it's going to be interesting to see how this particular team plays out for me personally, mainly because I think it's a good testament to see, okay, is this something that's really worth doing as we move forward for a team to have three bye weeks, or is it just way too much time off, right? And you know, can teams really get into a rhythm with having, again, three bye weeks within a 12-game span?
Yeah. And for a team like WKU, you know, they've been right there on the cusp, right? I mean, they lost the CUSA championship game last year. It's kind of been that way for the few, you know, just being able to finish, right, and get over that hump. And maybe that extra rest time is what it's going to take, right, to, you know, keep the guys a little fresher, to get some other guys in the mix there in some of these other games, and maybe, you know, get them a trophy there into Bowling Green. But, you know, the thing with WKU, I will say they've got one of the tougher road slates. It starts there at Toledo. You go at Louisiana Tech, at LSU later in the year. Those last 2 weeks, man, at LSU and then at Jack State. I mean, we talk about being locked in at the end of the season. That's where you really got to see it. Now, I envision that WKU will, you know, have bowl eligibility wrapped up by then. And at that point, you're probably just playing for potentially a championship game berth or hosting rights, whatever it may be. But yeah, Tyson Helton. Yeah, those last 2 weeks.
This week. I'm sure that last week at Jack State, too, would be something that they'll likely circle on their calendars, knowing, again, how the championship game actually ended up, knowing that they actually beat Jack State at the end of the season last year to get into the champ game. So I think that'll be something that will probably – that Coach Helton will probably look at and say, hey, let's make sure we band together during that time frame to finish strong.
Yep.
And see where it leads us at the end of the season.
Yeah, and what a perfect game for us to kind of wrap up our conversation on it. Yeah, rematch of that championship game. And I think that anybody who was on that WKU team from this past year, just walking into the building for that game, right? You're just going to have that extra little hunger, little edge because, you know how it played out last time you were there. And I'm sure you're just going to want to, you know, make an extra play, hit a guy maybe a little bit harder.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely. Definitely adds to the intrigue.
Yeah. And WKU, I mean, yeah, we talked about how they reloaded. recruited in the, you know, both in the portal and recruiting. It's next man up at QB1, right? I mean, and that's kind of one of the things that I think nationally people look for a lot is with the pedigree of quarterbacks that WKU has had under center. Next guy up is going to be Maverick McIver from ACU. And for any of you who watched that, and I'm sorry, Dane, for bringing this up because he's a Texas Tech guy. For any of you who watched that Texas Tech ACU game week one of last year when he went off for about 500 yards against the Red Raiders, this man's talented. He can sling the ball, and he fits the mold of some of the great quarterbacks that have come through this WKU program. So excited to see what he can do under Tyson Hilton, under his staff. But Trey, hey, this has been awesome, man. Really appreciate you Absolutely. Coming on to talk some ball.
For having me.
And yeah, hopefully we can get you on again soon.
No doubt.
Appreciate All right. You. Thank you guys so much. It's been an awesome, you know, conversation to preview, kind of go through our 2025 CUSA football schedule. I'm excited just to get it, you know, get it going, right? You know, we got a few months until, you know, spring ball wraps up and everything will come up to, you know, media day in July, and then right before you know it, it's going to be time for camp to start and games to start. But we'll get there when we get there. But I appreciate you guys joining us for this discussion on football.
Thank you so much, Trey Stallings, for joining us today. And thank you, Conference USA fans, for watching us. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And as always, see you guys next time.